Can't help but say, because I'm happy, I'm free, he watches over me. I may have to go through some things, but I know that I'm not going through it all by myself. I don't know what the Lord has for me next, but somehow I'm glad about what he's already done. I'm happy about the way he's treating me even right now. I know that I have reason to say thank you, Lord, for the future, because he just continues to bless me over and over and over. His eye is on the sparrow, but I'm just glad that he watches over, continues to watch over me. In James, the fourth chapter, the seventh verse, just that seventh verse, it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You know, it's good to know that if we want to get out of whatever the devil is doing to us, we need to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee. Submit ourselves to God. Do God's will. In every situation, look around it and look at that situation. What would God have me to do? Sometimes you may feel like I need to go read the scriptures and see what it says. But for the most part, you're going to find that somehow it seems that God, in his infinite love and wisdom, has had you to find that scripture that you need before you got there, got to that situation. And the Holy Spirit reminds you and brings that to your remembrance. And that scripture that you need to know what God would have you to do in that situation, you got it. You know what the Lord would have you to do. It's not when Satan steps up and does what he's going to do that you come up with that scripture. Somehow it seems that God has already provided you with some idea or knowledge of what his will is. It's good to know the will of God. You can live by the will of God. The scripture was read earlier, the fourth chapter of Luke. And in that chapter we find that, now, Luke doesn't give us all the background that Matthew does. Matthew lets us know that when Jesus was tempted or went out to be tempted, that just before that the Lord God had said, "This is my Son in whom I'm pleased." So we know that the dove, the Spirit of the Lord came in the form of a dove. So after Jesus was baptized, it seemed like there was almost like an ordination. The Spirit came down, and God spoke and said who he was. And then the Spirit led Jesus off into the wilderness. You know, I think all of us have heard about the challenges that Jesus had, the temptations that he faced out there. But somehow I want to focus on those a little bit right now, because it's very important that we understand just how important that was in the life of Jesus. All that happened, you said, well, he went up into the wilderness, and Satan tried to tempt him. Satan must have been crazy. Who do you think he's? That's Jesus. So we look at it and we don't put much emphasis on those three temptations and the fact that Jesus was able to come through it the way that he did. But what's important about it, we look at it, we realize that Satan tried to tempt him, and Satan had good reason. This was an important time. If Satan were going to be able to turn Jesus into something that that God would not have him to be, talking about one who did not walk along in the will of God, if we were able to make Jesus a sinner, how could we all be saved by Jesus if Jesus was no better than any of us? Jesus is going to have to something special, and how can we possibly expect him to be able to be all that we need him to be if somehow Satan's able to tempt him? And he sins three times there before he even gets things started. That first temptation. Satan says, if you're the Son of God, know you're hungry. It's been 40 days. I know that you're hungry. I think that it would make sense, Lord, if you really are the Son of the living God. Satan had no idea that he was going to get an answer saying, no, I'm not. He knew that he was the Son of the living God. He said, if you really are the Son of the living God, turn these stones into rocks. Turn these rocks into bread. And go ahead and eat. You're hungry. What's wrong with turning these rocks into bread? Makes sense, doesn't it? You have the power. You've been fasting for 40 days. And now here's this bread. Now here are these rocks. And all you need to do, being the Son of God, all you need to do is wave your hand or just reach out and take them up and there'll be bread. But Jesus didn't do that. And Jesus didn't do that for a good reason. You see, Jesus came into the world to live as a mortal, to be able to have all the same kinds of powers that we have. No more than that. He was a Son of the living God, but he was going to go through this life every step of the way, not using his miraculous power for himself. He's going to go through this life and face all of the trials and all the difficulties that we face and not use his power in order to comfort himself or to feed himself. You see, if he had at that time, after going through the temptation and having all the hunger, if he had just stopped and said, okay, that's enough of that, and turned it into bread, he would be using his power, his miraculous power, his infinite power, in order to be something different. And he wanted to go through every situation the same way we would have to go through those situations. Not using that extraordinary power. Not the fact that he was the Son of the... Certainly he's the Son of the living God. Certainly he could change those rocks into bread. But he wasn't going to do that, because if he did, he was using that power and not the mortal self that he was in order to go through his situation. He had been fasting and praying for all of those days. Some say he was hungry. Certainly he was hungry. He was probably hungry the first day, but he went through 40 days. He went through all of that, and he could have any time, if he wanted to, being who he was, created bread to fall off of the tree. He could have had manna to fall from the sky, but he wasn't going to do any of those things because he wanted to live through this life that he was going through, as all of us would have to if we went through this life. Couldn't change it. He said, man does not live by bread alone. There's something else that's more special. For the last 40 days, I've been filling myself up with something special. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. But God is feeding me. God was feeding me for these 40 days. He may have looked like he was weak to Satan, but he was powerful and strong because he had been fed by the word of God for all those 40 days. You know, somehow it seems if you go for a few days and you just meditate with the Lord, don't eat a lot, just meditate and talk to the Lord. I don't know, the certain strength that you get, a lot of power that you feel just because you've been feeding on the word. Open up the book and there it is. There's something that you read, and somehow it seems like God had something special for you. Jesus had been meditating and fasting for 40 days, and Satan thought he was weak. Man does not live by bread alone. But we know of the other temptations also that he tried to make Jesus feel, well, you don't need to really go through all of this. There are different ways that you can get people to respect you and think that you are the Messiah. He was telling him, if you go out there, we'll take you out here, and you fall down from there. You know that the Lord won't allow your foot to be bruised. You know that you won't have a problem falling. People will see you, and they'll rejoice and say, that must be the Messiah. How could he come down, fall down through there without some harm coming to him? All these things that Satan was doing, all these things he was trying to get Jesus to do, because he wanted Jesus to step away from the will of God. You'll notice that each time that Satan tried to do something and convince Jesus to do something that was outside of the will of God, Jesus just said what the will of God was. He said, the word of God says no. The word of God says this. The word of God tells me, the word of God says, I don't need to worry about bread. I don't have to worry about that. I've got the word. I don't have to worry about. He looked at the word. He looked at the word of God and found strength in the word of God. Satan was trying his best to turn Jesus away from what God had given him to do. Jesus knew what God's will was for him. He was to walk through this world in a human body, go through all the suffering in a human body, do all the things that he was going to do with the same strength that a human has. Not the power of God, not the power that he actually could use at any time. He could have at any point in his life use that power that he had to change what he was going through. He was carrying that heavy cross down the cobblestones of Jerusalem. I'm talking about a heavy cross. It was so heavy that it was more than he was able as a human to bear. He could have at any time made that cross lighter if he wanted to. He didn't have to carry a heavy cross. He could have continued, but he carried it just like we would. It was so heavy that, as a matter of fact, it got to the point where they had to call in somebody else to help him to carry the cross. He was only going to do the things that he did as a human being with the power that we have. Everything that was beyond that was the will of God empowering him to do that. After all of this had happened, the angels came through to take it. He didn't do it. He didn't create bread for himself, but for 5,000. He was able to do those things for others, but that was not God's will to do that. Everything that he did was according to the will of God. Everything that Satan tried to get him to do wrong was going against the will of God. So each case, when Satan tried to convince him to do something, what he did was he looked at what the Word said. He looked at what God said. And somehow, I read here a little earlier, it said, submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. And if you do, you'll be able to resist the devil, and the devil will flee. But you know, I read here, or Sister Teresa read a little earlier, it said, when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until a more opportune time. That's the way it reads in most of the versions. And in the King James Version, it says it left him for a season. What it's really saying is Satan knew he was going to come back. And I think we need to recognize that. We have the same thing that Jesus had in that very special confrontation with the devil. We have the same thing that he had. All he had was knowledge of God's will. Mm-hmm. He had God's word. That's all that he had. That's the only thing he used. The only thing he used was, somebody may say, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Don't leave home without it. The sword of the Spirit. That's all that he needed to confront Satan. He didn't use any other power. He didn't wave his hand and make Satan go. He could have done that. He could have turned Satan into a flame of fire and had him to burn away right there. We're talking about Jesus here. But he didn't use any of those things. He used something that I've got. He used something that you've got. I've got the word of God down in my heart. And I know what God's will is in most situations. We can look at the things that we're doing, and some of us right now recognize that we're doing things that are really not according to God's will. And we feel like, well, I wish I could do so. Well, no, you know God's will. And God won't allow those temptations to be more than you're able to bear. And with every temptation, he's going to give you a way out. Think about this. You're being tempted. It's not more than you can bear. You know what it is he would have you to do. And he's going to give you a way to get through and to get out of it. I can do just what Jesus did. I can say, get behind me, Satan. I can do just what Jesus did. I can say that I have word that tells me that's not what I should be doing. That's not the way that I should be walking. I'm not going according to God's will. Jesus did it in a powerful way. We look there, we see that somehow we felt, well, that was Jesus. That's different. Jesus didn't use anything that we don't have that we can use. Jesus used God's word. That's all he used against Satan. He didn't smack him like some of us say, well, I think Jesus could have smacked him. No, no. He didn't do anything. He didn't use his tremendous power. None of the things that he could have done did he do except use the word of God. If you know what God's word is, let me read this again. James says, submit yourself to God. In other words, know what God's will is and walk according to God's will. Know what God's will is and walk according to his will. Know what it is God would have you to do and walk according to his will. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. Say no to Satan. That thing that you said, it's okay, everybody's doing it. It's okay. Nobody's going to know but you. It's okay. Just this one time. Resist the devil. He's going to try to convince you that it's really okay and try to give you reason. You can't justify your wrong. Satan can't justify. He knows some scripture, but he can't justify your sin. Only the blood of Jesus and our faith in him. You can't do it. I want to read that again. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Let me add something to that. Now I'm going to pull from some. He'll flee for a season. Mm-hmm. He's coming back. He will resist for a season to do those things that he had left undone. He's going to continue to try you. He's going to continue to work on you. Don't feel that because you came through and you gave up that habit and started walking more the way God would have you to work and live more the way God would have you to live, that you got Satan now. He can't do anything with you. Yes, he can. Because Satan knows your weakness. Satan knows where you can't quite say no. Satan knows that sometimes you're going to find reasons to say, I want to do this, and I think it'd be okay this time. Submit yourself to God's will and resist the devil, and he'll flee for a little while. Satan is going to continue to work on you. Satan is going to continue to try to change your direction. Try to keep you from doing God's will. Again, I guess I need to go back to Ephesians and say we need to take up that sword of the Spirit. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Continue to. The more we learn, the more we know about God, the more we recognize his will, the more able we are to resist the Satan. Because he's going to continue to work on you. You may feel right now that, you know, Pastor, somehow I don't know. You must know what's going on with me. I'm having that challenge, and I want to say no, but somehow I think maybe this last time. I won't do this again, but God knows my heart. I know this isn't the direction I should be going, but God knows that I really want to do the right thing. But somehow I've been doing right most of the time, and one time won't be so bad. That's Satan talking to you. That's Satan trying to convince you. But what you need to know is that God wants you to do his will on a daily basis. He wants you to continue to walk according to his will. You can continue to walk according to God's will. And if you don't go according to God's will and just take a few steps on Satan's road, you'll find that road is wide. You're going to find that road gets to be easy. You're going to find that road is a downward road. You don't have to put much energy into it. Somehow you're going to find that the more you go along with Satan, the more you do what he says for you to do, the easier it's going to get for you to walk his way. Satan knows all he needs to do is to get most of us on that road. Once we get used to it, and once we start feeling comfortable with it, once we feel, well, I'm doing better than everybody else, once we feel, well, Satan's gonna try, but I think I got control over this. I can change anytime I want to. I can leave that habit alone. I'm gonna go do a little bit more of that right now, but I can turn away from it anytime I want to. I'm not under Satan's control. No, I'm doing things that I want to do, and I know that if I want to change, I can change it. And you're walking away from the will of God. Don't let Satan get you on a path. Don't let Satan get you in a direction. Don't let Satan get you going in an area where you should not be standing, on a road you should not be traveling, with folks you should not be traveling with situations that you should not be putting yourselves into. Don't put yourself into a situation where you're testing your strength against Satan. Satan knows your weaknesses, and Satan's going to explore them. All we need, all that Jesus used, all we have is the knowledge of God's will. If we know what he wants us to do and we walk according to his will, we are resisting Satan, and he's going to flee. He's going to resist. We're going to resist him, and he's going to not give up on you. Don't think that. He's just going to give up on you for the moment. He knows where your weakness is. And he'll be there again. Don't get to the point where you think you've overcome him. Don't get to the point where you think you don't have to be concerned about him. Don't get to the point where you don't think you're going to continue to try. Don't get to the point where you think that you're better than he is. He knows who you are. He knows your weakness. And he's going to get back to you. He's going to try you all over again. Over and over again. So I suggest that you hold on to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let us talk to God. Our Father and our loving God. Father, many of us who are here right now are being reminded as we just meditate out on ourselves that we are not as strong as we need to be. We're looking at the things where Satan is trying us. We're looking at temptations. We're saying, well, that won't be so bad if I do go that way. Remind us, Father, that if it's outside of your will, it's bad. If it's outside of your will, it's sin. If it's outside of your will, Satan is having a victory over us. Father, let us not allow those victories. Let us not allow him to pull us down to his level. Father, let us continue to realize that we need to hold on to the hand of a God who has shown us so much love. Walk according to your will. Live according to your will. Resist Satan, Father, so that he will not only flee, but will recognize that even when he comes back, he's going to have trouble because we're holding on to your unchanging hand. Thank you, Father, for reminding us that all that Jesus used when he faced Satan, all that he used when he faced the terrible struggle that he was going to have there after all that he had gone through for 40 days, that he all that he needed to face and to defeat Satan was your word and knowledge of your will. Father, remind us that we've got that. We've got knowledge of what you want. We know your word. If we walk according to your will, we can continue to cause Satan to flee. Bless us, Father. Strengthen us, Father, so that we might become more of what you would have us to be. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Need is the word of God. All that you need is a knowledge of what God's will is. If you know what God's will is, you can throw it up at Satan and say, get behind me. You can throw it up at Satan. Every time you resist, you're going to find that he's fleeing. You may have to do it over and over again because he's going to continue to try you. He's going to continue to try to turn you away. Turn you away from the will of God. Is there someone here who has not said yes to the Lord yet? Someone who realizes that Jesus is the Christ, that he really did suffer. He didn't carry that cross as the God of the universe. He carried it as a man who was going to submit to all that those who were around him, who hated him, were going to make him submit to. He did that for me, so I love him. But he did that for you. I've accepted him. He did that for you. You ought to say yes and accept him as well. If you believe that Jesus Christ really is the Son of the living God, and you believe that he's going to stand by you through all of the trials and difficulties, providing you with all that you need to go through everything that you face, why don't you give yourself over totally to him? He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows of all the times you said yes to Satan. He knows of all the habits that you have. He knows all the good, but he also knows all the bad about you. But he wants you just as you are. You see, he can change you. He can mold you into something very, very special. He can make you beautiful in the eyes of God. You see, he can wash you with his blood, and with that precious blood, you can become cleansed and able to come before God, recognizing that you're in his favor, recognizing that he wants to communicate with you, recognizing that he wants you to be a friend, and he's going to be a beautiful friend to you. Is there someone who wants to say yes to the Lord? Someone who wants to be washed in that blood? Someone who wants to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. someone who will be able to say without a doubt that I'm on my way to glory. I've got a new home there because he's providing a place for me. Is there someone who wants to say yes to the Lord? Or maybe now, maybe there's someone who's already accepted the Lord, already said yes to Jesus, but they did it in another place and they're not where they made the commitments to do his will. They're not where they were able to, in the place where they said, I was going to walk according to his pleasure and his direction. Do all, use all the talents that God has given you to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished in the household of faith. If that's you, if you feel like you're not where you made the promise, but you feel like you could keep the promise here in this congregation, maybe you should come on as well. Someone who wants to come for the first time, someone who wants to recommit and become a part of this household. Is there someone? God bless you all.